Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be on you this morning as we gather on this this Sunday, this sixth Sunday in the season of Epiphany, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know this Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, so I know we are looking forward to making the big game. I have to say I'm a little bit conflicted, being that my home team is also in the Super Bowl, so I don't know who I'll be rooting for. No, I will be rooting for the Eagles, but if Kansas City should win, that wouldn't be too bad for me. But I know we're all looking forward to that time today. Please just make sure that you read your bulletin and also go to our webpage to stay abreast of activities that are happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land which you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and cleaving to him. For that means life to you and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning will come from Matthew's gospel. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel. It's the a part of the familiar Sermon on the Mount that we've been reading for the last couple of weeks. We'll be reading from verse 21 through verse 37 of chapter 5 in Matthew's gospel, found on page 838 and 839. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members and that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity makes her an adulteress, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. And it was at that time I was given my very own Bible, my first Bible. And being a newly baptized Christian, I felt somewhat duty-bound to read it. And I did indeed read it. It was my first real engagement with the Bible outside of the Sunday school classes that I sporadically attended. And so I started reading the Bible, started with Matthew's Gospel, since it was the first book in the New Testament. And when I read our Gospel passage for this morning, for the first time, I have to say that I was totally terrified by what Jesus was saying here. With all the talk about plucking out eyes and cutting off limbs, what in the world was Jesus talking about? Sometimes dangerous to let 12-year-olds read the Bible on their own. But indeed, I was terrified. Why is Jesus being so over the top? Why is he being so hyperbolic? What in the world could Jesus be talking about here? Well, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about life. He's talking about his desire that we have life. That is what God wants for all of us. He wants us to have life. He wants us to be oriented towards life, to walk in the ways that bring life. Last week we heard Jesus say that he didn't come to abolish the law, but rather he came to fulfill it. And of course, the law he was referring to was the Jewish law, the Ten Commandments, the law that was given by Moses. Many of us know that law. You shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, and on, the laws of the Ten Commandments. Those were the laws that Moses gave, and those are the laws that Jesus said that he did not come to abolish. We tend to think of the commandments as a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts. But we're reminded this morning that the commandments were actually a gift. They were God's wonderful gift to his people. God had already saved his people. He had already liberated the Israelites from slavery, but he gave them this law as a gift that would help them to live, a gift that would help them to thrive, a gift that would help them to prosper as a community in a world that is bent towards death. And that's what Moses wanted the Israelites to remember in our Old Testament reading this morning. The Israelites are preparing to enter into the Promised Land, and Moses has been with them. He has led them across the wilderness, but he will not be allowed to journey with them into the Promised Land. But as he looks over the region, the valley of Jordan, he tells the Israelites that they will need to choose. He has laid before them a choice. They can choose the way of life, or they can choose the way of death. The choice is up to them. That's one thing that God will not do for them. That's one thing that God would not do for any of us. God will not choose for us. But what God has done, what God did do, is he gave them this wonderful gift, the gift of the law, the gift of life itself. And Moses says, you must choose. You must choose how you are going to live. You must choose what kind of community you're going to be. You have a choice to make, but choose life. Do not choose the way of death. I suppose that seems pretty simple on the face of it. I mean, who wouldn't prefer the ways of life over the ways of death? Isn't that what we all want to live? Isn't that what we all want? We want life. We want life in abundance. We want the good life. Isn't it only natural that we would choose the way of life? But have you ever noticed that even when we know that certain things are bad, even when we know that certain things are destructive, we often make the wrong choices anyway? The doctor tells us don't eat this or don't eat that because it will clog up your arteries or cause high blood pressure. It's going to be bad for your health, and yet we do it anyway. We know that we shouldn't treat people in a certain kind of way, that we ought to be kind and considerate, and yet we treat people as trash anyway. I know people who know that it's wrong to cheat on their spouses, to engage in behavior that they know will be destructive to their family, and yet they do it anyway. As Scott Hosey says, bad choices ricochet down the corridors of time. And it seems that no amount of morality tales, no amount of fair warnings or counterexamples are enough to wave us off from making bad choices. We make bad choices all the time. We choose the ways of death, even when we know what the ways of life are. But the word of the Lord this morning is that we choose wisely. The word of the Lord is that we choose life. And that's what Jesus is also saying in our text this morning. Choose life. Like Moses, who brought down the Ten Commandments from the mountain, Jesus too is giving this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. He has gathered his disciples around him, and he is laying down the law. But what makes what the Lord says here so scary, so horrifying, a little bit discomforting, is that Jesus is not just not abolishing the law, but he is intensifying it. He is deepening it. He's making it harder. He's making it a matter of the heart and not just a matter of outward conduct. Jesus is calling us to a higher righteousness. That's what he said last week as well. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the righteous, the Pharisees were some righteous brothers. I mean, they kept the law. They were serious about the law. They were serious about the Ten Commandments. Paul himself was a Pharisee. And Paul knew that he himself was a devoted Pharisee. Blameless as it comes to the law, Paul said. The Pharisees were righteous, but Jesus says that unless you practice a higher righteousness, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus begins to break down the law as he has come to fulfill it. You have heard it said, Jesus says, that you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that if you even lust in your heart, if you even lust after another woman, if you lust in your heart for someone, you've already committed adultery in your heart. The moment you objectify someone, the moment you see someone as simply an object for your desires, the moment you see someone as less than human, someone who only exists for you to use, the moment you do that, you are committing adultery in your heart. I remember several years ago, who was it? I think it was Jimmy Carter who said he never lusted in his heart. And everyone knew that that wasn't true. Who of us has not lusted in our hearts? And yet Jesus says that when we do that, we're walking the path of death. That's our whole society. Lust, the lust of the eye, the lust for things, lust. Jesus says, you have heard it said that you shall not give your wife a writ of divorce except for unchastity. But I'm telling you, whoever divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, makes her an adulteress. Divorce, of course, in the ancient world was a little different from divorce today. We're reminded that in the ancient world, only men could give divorces. Women could not divorce their husbands. Husbands could divorce their wives. And of course, in the ancient world, a woman without a man was a woman who was consigned to poverty, who was consigned to starvation, who was pretty much in a desperate state. And so Jesus says, yes, the law was meant for you to be mindful of your wives, but I'm telling you that even though the law of Moses permitted divorce, I'm telling you, you shall not divorce your wife without considering her well-being, without considering what that action is going to have on her, without considering how she is going to get on in the world. You can't just divorce your wife and treat her any kind of way, but you have to be mindful for her as a human being, mindful of her condition. And so Jesus is deepening the Mosaic Law. Of course, when I was 12, I wasn't terribly concerned about any of those things. I wasn't necessarily concerned about lust. Lust wasn't a big problem for me, at least not yet. Divorce and adultery were were not major issues for me either at that tender age. But the thing that absolutely horrified me when I first read this passage was what Jesus says at the very beginning of this passage. He says, again, you have heard it said that you shall not murder. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgment. That's what terrified me. It terrified me because I had four brothers and two sisters, and I can tell you I was constantly liable to the judgment. But 50 years later, I have to admit that I'm still terrified by the Lord's words here. Still terrified because I find myself being angry for some reason or another a lot. There's always a lot to be angry about. A lot that causes us to be rageful from time to time. I saw a group of people the other day, they were just angry. Terribly angry. Seems that they had saw something on the news. Who is it, Rasheed Wallace, who was a former Philadelphia native, basketball professional, has a street named after him here in the city. But he had the nerve to show up at a Sixers game wearing a Kansas City Chiefs jersey. That got a lot of people's blood boiling. Should be angry. But anger is very real problem in our society now. People are angry. Angry for all kinds of reasons. Of course, there's a positive anger. There's a kind of healthy anger. Sometimes expressing anger can be a way of communicating to someone your displeasure about something that can lead to an overall healthier relationship. And of course, there's righteous anger, righteous indignation over injustices. There's all kinds of anger that is considered to be righteous anger. Sometimes we should be angry, and if we're not angry, we're not paying attention. But the kind of anger that Jesus is referring to here is not just any kind of anger. Jesus is referring to that anger that often expresses itself as a deep contempt that we have for others. A deep contempt that we have for people. A contempt that we harbor deep down inside of our heart. And I'm afraid that kind of anger and that kind of contempt is everywhere in our society today. People are just angry. They're angry in politics. They're angry in the sporting world, everywhere. Your own social media, people are angry. There's a deep, deep contempt that we have for each other. And I'm inclined to believe that a lot of it is manufactured. I think for some people, anger is something that's manufactured because it's profitable. It diverts our attention, diverts us from attending to the things that we ought to attend to. And so it's easy for us and more profitable for them to keep us angry. But Jesus says that this is the kind of thing that leads to death. That to walk in the way of anger leads to death. A Of course, the history of the world is replete with various examples of communities where people's societies have collapsed because of internal anger. People are constantly fighting with each other. And that's what makes me so fearful of our country today, so fearful of our society, because we are walking the ways of death. But the word of the Lord this morning is to choose life. Choose life. Do not choose the way of contempt for each other. Do not choose the way of using each other as objects. Do not continue the way of not being mindful of how we treat people without being mindful of what is good for people. Choose the way of life. That's the kind of community that Jesus is calling us to. Choose life, he says. Jesus isn't telling us any of these things to scare us. He's not telling us these things to make us ashamed of how we fail to live up to them. But he is reminding us of the gift. He's reminding us that God loves us so much that God has given us this gift of righteousness, this gift of the law, this gift of God's own heart, this gift that shows us how we ought to live. Choose life. Of course, we know that the law could always be summed up in one word, and that word is the word love. You shall love. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you love your neighbor, not only will you not murder your neighbor, but when you love your neighbor, you won't speak ill of them. When you love your neighbor, you won't treat your neighbor with contempt. When you love your neighbor, you won't see your neighbor as being worthless or beneath you. When you love your neighbor, you will feed him when he's hungry. When you love your neighbor, you will demand that he be treated fairly and equitably. You won't close your eyes when your neighbor is abused and beaten, for instance, by the police. You won't turn your eyes. You won't make excuses. When you love your neighbor, you won't sexually harass her. You won't see her as an object for your desires. When you love your neighbor, you can speak truthfully to them. You won't have to try to reinforce your word because they will know that you are a truthful person. You can speak plainly. You can let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes. When you love your neighbor, you will treat your neighbor as you yourself would want to be treated. Jesus says that's the way of life. That's the way that God wants all of us to live. Now, to be honest, none of us could live this way by ourselves. We can't do it. We can't live this way completely on our own. Sometimes we're just taken over by the powers of sin. We're captured by the powers of sin. The powers of sin and death grip our hearts. But thanks be to God, we have another gift. God has given us another gift. God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus has come into our midst, and through his obedience, through his self-giving love, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has opened up space in our lives so that we too have the possibility of living and walking the way of life. But we're reminded that we have to make a choice. We still have to make a choice. That's one thing God will not do for us. God will not choose for us. We must choose. We must choose this morning how we will walk. We must choose this morning the direction in which we will go. We can go in the way of life, or we can walk in the ways of death. But the word of the Lord for us this morning is to choose life. Choose love. Choose the way of the higher righteousness that Jesus so desires us to live. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to indeed choose the ways of life in a world that is conditioned by death. In a world where we turn our backs on each other. In a world where we often seek to satisfy our own desires. In a world where we think nothing of hurting each other and killing each other's spirit. In a world where we so readily dismiss each other, even those who are closest to us, those who have shared our lives, you have called us to live differently. You have called us to walk in the only way that brings life, the way of our Lord himself. And so we ask, Lord, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, empower us to walk that way too. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.